Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome once again to the Steve Jones Show. As we get ready to look ahead toward the Super Bowl, now that the teams are all set, and despite what Steve may have said throughout the afternoon and throughout the morning as he was talking about today's program, I did not pick the two teams that I'm accused of picking. I had these two teams back in August, as a matter of fact, and I'm very proud to say that, because normally I don't get anything like this right. So the bad part is I didn't have any money on it. That's the real problem. Let's take a look at...
Yeah, but you also think that the Olympics are really cool, and so do terrorists.
But why didn't I have any money on this darn thing?
Okay.
I could have had some serious cash coming in after this setup. Not only did I have all four teams in the playoffs, or all four teams in the championship game, but then I picked the right two teams for the Super Bowl as well. We'll check in with the Sunbury Motors studio here in just a minute as we try and reestablish connection with said studio. And I believe we have done that.
Let's put this in terms that you understand.
Okay.
Look in the mirror. Okay.
Now that's cold.
Hey. It may be cold, but cold. I mean, really. I mean, it's your life.
It's a good moment for me, and you're not going to ruin it. I've gotten it. I'm a happy camper today.
800-795-9565. Everyone, call in. Let's ruin Kevin's moment. You can do it. Join me. We'll make it a chorus. We'll make it seem like a tidal wave going to the shore. Well, this is our chance to pay him back for taking, like, your gift certificate at a golf tournament and using it to buy your gift.
All right. Now, I want to get your response to this. It's regarding the Wes Welker hit that took out Tlaib out of the game in the first game, the AFC Championship game. Here's Bill Belichick's comments.
I like it so far.
Yeah, you like it so far. Is that good? This is what happens when you... There we go. I think we got it now.
I went back and watched it, which I didn't have a chance to do yesterday. I think it was a deliberate play by the receiver to take out Aqib. No attempt to get open. And I'll let the league handle the discipline on that play. It's not for me to decide, but it's one of the worst plays I've seen. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Now, you saw it. Give me your opinion on that particular play.
You're talking about the pick play?
Yeah. I mean, it looked like a standard pick play.
It's a pick play, but it's also a play where he's delivered the ball after he's delivering the blow when the ball's being caught.
Right.
I recall. That's why I looked at it and I said I had no problem with what he was doing. The guy that, because there was a penalty called in the play. It was against the Patriots. And it was Hamuna Nui Mama Nui Ui Ui Pui, who 47, the former Illinois tight end, that was called for the penalty because he was holding and moving out in the play. Now, that play was called a penalty earlier in the game, right?
I believe so, yes.
Against the Patriots. He is making no effort at the ball, but I don't think there's any... He's not a receiver of the play.
Listen, it's a pick play. That's what it is. I mean, everybody does it in the NFL. It's just a point of how it's delivered, whether it's going to be a penalty or not. Here's the problem. I don't think... I mean, it's not like he stretched out a leg or an arm. It wasn't a clothesline. I don't think there was intent to do damage here. The intent was, well, it was a pick. And everybody in the NFL does it. It's not like it's not happening on every play.
Right.
You know, it's the officials have to find the ones that make an impact on the play, and those are the ones they end up calling. Here's Merrill Hodge's comments on it.
Listen, when he says deliberate, the Patriots are outstanding at running these deliberate routes. I mean, this is part of what the National Football League does and teams do when they're playing a lot of man coverage. You try to run a lot of rubs and picks, and you're hoping people run into each other. Well, I think you have to be very careful when you say deliberately ran the route. He probably did deliberately run the route because that's what you're trying to do, pick somebody. Did he deliberately try to take out Aqib Talib? I doubt that.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I mean, like I said, everybody runs these routes.
Well, they run the routes because they're trying to get guys open. They can't get guys open. That's, you know, I mean, this is a league that is very little, because of the athleticism in the league, there's very little separation out there. And you try to create separation any way you can find it. One of the ways of creating separation is running pick plays. Believe me, I've watched the Penn State offense the last 2 years, which is the exact, I mean, because yesterday when they ran the Patriots ran the 2-point play, I was sitting there in the living room and go, here comes the give to the running back. Mary's like, well, how do you know that's because that's the standard Patriots 2-point play. How many times have I watched Penn State run that 2-point play?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? How many times? Northwestern, Wisconsin, Ohio State. Well, that's three.
I am not a big fan of running the ball between the tackles on a 2-point play.
No, I have no problem with it. I mean, if you've got them in the right defense, it's a wonderful play call. I've seen it work more often than not. And they were running the ball effectively. The problem was the Broncos came out in a different alignment than when they bring in the ball earlier. That's why I didn't think it was going to work. They should have checked out of it into a pass play. If they'd been going with the same alignment they had used all the way down the field, it would have been they would have scored the 2-point play. They would have scored on it.
See, I would have liked.
The Broncos changed their alignment, and that's why it didn't work. I've watched, actually, the only time it never worked at Penn State, the only time it didn't work was the Ohio State game. That's the only time I did not see that play work, and they ran it to Zordich. They ran it with Zordich twice, and they ran it with Zwinak once. And two out of the three times they ran it, it worked. And it worked because they came out in the alignment that you needed to have them in. Ohio State changed up their alignment, just like the Broncos on the 2-point play changed up their alignment. That's why it didn't work. He should have checked out of it and checked into a pass play, because you could tell by the way they took their tackles, they moved their tackles, pinched in their ends, and had the linebackers there. It wasn't going to work for that particular reason. They had more spread out the entire drive, which allowed the Patriots to run the ball. And, you know, you are trying to catch them off guard with it. But it is a standard Patriots 2-point play. Now, when it comes to pick plays, I've watched the Penn State offense so much the last 2 years, which is essentially the Patriots offense. Josh McDaniels hasn't made that many changes. And it does involve a lot of area picks and so forth. I mean, it just does.
Going back to the 2-point play, I'm not saying it was a bad call. What I would like to see if it were my team is I'd rather see him fake the dive to the fullback and then run a halfback in the flat as an auxiliary receiver, and then use him as the dump off route, because I think that becomes more effective, because now you're drawing linebackers in on the running play, and you're not going to have anybody chasing that guy coming to the outside as much. Plus, it gives you more options. I 2-point plays that only give you one option of, you know, run the football between the tackles. I don't know. I just never like those calls, especially when you have to have it.
It depends on how they're lined up. When Penn State kicked the game winning field goal in the Orange Bowl, it was a fake.
I think I even remember you almost alluding to that too at the time.
I mean, it was going to be a fake. And what happened was Florida State, which had lined up one way the entire night, changed their alignment. So when they came out, Chris Ganner was the holder, and Chris Ganner looked and saw that Florida State changed its alignment. He looked back at Kevin Kelly and said, we're kicking it. And they did, and he did. And that one he made, and they won the game. So a lot of times you'll see, you know, why did they do this? Why didn't they do that? Well, that's a perfect example. That play tells you right there, okay? Alignment means everything as to how you're going to play it. Peyton Manning has been a master in his career with less than superior talent at times on his offensive side, I think his offensive talent with Denver is good, but not great. I think other teams have better talent. I think if you gave him Michael Crabtree and Anquan Boldin, my goodness, it would be field day.
I have to ask you this question, though. If you're watching, if this is Wes Welker playing for Bill Belichick and this whole play happens, would Bill Belichick have the same feeling now that Welker was in the same uniform?
But here's Belichick's issue, okay? Tlaib got knocked out of the game because of it.
No, I understand that.
Okay, this is an injury. Oh, God, what? You're so frustrating.
No, I understand he got knocked out of the game. I get that. But you mean to tell me he's not going to be upset if it's the other way around?
He's not upset if Tlaib doesn't get knocked out of the game. He doesn't like it, but his best corner gets knocked out of the game because of it. Okay, that's what's got him upset. All right, that's the part. If Tlaib plays the rest of the game and it's just another play in the game, you'd say, well, okay. He would not have focused or been asked much about it. But the problem is Tlaib, his best corner and probably one of his top three defensive players, gets knocked out of the game.
Yeah, but that wasn't why they lost. They lost because their offense wasn't doing anything.
Kevin, his top corner got knocked out of the game.
So you're telling me that one player made all the difference in the ball game? I get the point that his top player got knocked out. If it's the other way around, Belichick's not upset.
Repeating one more time, the reason he commented on the play is the player got knocked out of the game, and it turns out it's one of his best players. I'm not saying it swung the game one way or the other.
Right.
I said if the guy didn't get hurt, he wouldn't have commented on it. It would have been another play in the game. He goes, well, we're not really crazy about that, blah, blah, blah. But he got asked about it because he was lost for the rest of the afternoon. That's why it's an issue. Okay? Not that it happened or who did it. Okay? It's the fact that he lost a player for the rest of the day against a quarterback that threw for 400 yards.
You know, if we have time coming up in the next half hour, I want to discuss with
you. Do you watch the games?
A little. Yes.
Do you watch the games?
Yes. And I still say Bill Belichick is whining, okay? Period. But I want to talk in the next half hour.
You know what?
I want to talk about the fumble.
I don't care about that. Let's talk one thing, just one before. No, I'm serious here, because you're dead wrong about this. The reason it's talked about is the player was lost for the game. In other words, a guy you're counting on is gone the rest of the day. That's why it was worthy of comment. That's not whining.
It is when you say it's the worst play you've ever seen.
Well, it was pretty brutal, I thought. I mean, you watch it. He's not watching him. I mean, you're all jumping up and down because you knocked out a Bengals punter.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Purdy Insurance is the one sponsoring the show today. Serve the Valley forever and ever. There's a reason why people just trust the Purdy's and understand that they are out for one thing and one thing only. Your life. Caring about things that you care about. They know that they're going to be in the Valley for a long time. They know you are too. They want to take great care of you and give the best deal possible when it comes to your insurance. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And the next part of it is, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Now, do I think the Belichick thing is the worst thing he's ever seen? No. But I do think the reason he's upset is that one of his top two or three players got knocked out of the game. I think if he doesn't get knocked out of the game, even if he's out for a couple of series and then plays the rest of the game, it probably is not much of an issue for him. But because he got knocked out of the rest of the game, he says, I think that's what he's upset about, is the fact that he's out the rest of the game, okay? The entire game. So,
Listen, there were a lot of things to talk about besides just the game itself with these two games. I mean, you had that wonderful post-game interview with Aaron Andrews in the second game, and of course Belichick's comments after the game in the press conference. After the game was almost more exciting than before.
I think Belichick's comments actually were today.
Oh, were they today? Okay.
At his season-ending press conference.
That could be right. That could be right.
I think that also the fact that it was Welker that did it, I think probably also caused it. Now, there are two different viewpoints. Mike Pereira says, nah, he's wrong about that. But then they also talked with Jim DePaulis, who's a former official, who works for NBC, and he agreed with Belichick that it was bad. So it's like even split among former officials. So he runs a crossing route. There's no doubt what he's trying to do. He's trying to rub Tlaib out. Okay, there's no doubt about that.
He's running interference at the least.
Well, he's running a pick play. I mean, you know, that's what he's trying to run. And, you know, But if you listen, for example, if you listen to the audio of the game, because they were trying to get all the Brady and Manning calls before, okay, you hear the Broncos scream out, scream out, watch the pick, because Manning's calling the play. So we're hearing how many Omahas can we hear? And you can hear the Patriots before the play yell out, watch the pick. So it wasn't like they didn't know it was coming.
Was that the Omaha call, or was that the
who knows?
Or was that Marshall? And I think I heard Memphis too.
Right, may have been. I really don't care what he says at the line of scrimmage. I find that stuff irrelevant.
I know you don't, but I liked that. I thought that was really cool to be able to have that audio. I mean, I've heard him talking about it for years, but to be able to hear it as clear as that was really kind of cool.
Look.
I don't know what it means, but I thought it was entertaining.
You think throwing a beanbag into a clown's mouth is entertaining, too. But, I mean, it's a different story.
Well, let me quickly now, ask for the Bowman play. All right, go to the – yeah.
I feel awful about the Bowman play because it's Bowman. And I like Bowman so much personally. And I've always wanted him to succeed personally because I just dislike him. And he has developed into one of the top five linebackers in the NFL. And you can debate who your 1 through 5 happen to be, but there's no doubt Bowman's in there somewhere among your 1 through 5. That's how good he's become. He strips the ball. He gets the ball, screaming in pain and writhing in pain. He's holding on to the ball. And then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose and they all jump on the pile.
Which I'm sure did not help his situation at all.
No, but it sounds like he has both torn ACL and MCL damage. That's 9 months right there. That's not as simple as some of the things that we've heard other guys come back quickly from. When it's both, then you've got much more of an issue. And I think that... that's one they have to take a long look at because he clearly, while being touched, has possession of the football on the ground. Like, the definition of possession. And he's already has somebody on top of his leg, so he's already down. So they have to change the rule in terms of that. Now, they couldn't go to an automatic review because Seattle recovered. It was not a turnover in their eyes. But to me, that's one they should allow Jim Harbaugh to be able to throw a flag and go, hey, yo, Doug, our guy had it. Clearly. I think they have to change a rule about that.
The best part about that whole thing and Navarro Bowman's injury, not aside, for the 49ers, at least the fumble happened on the next play, and literally, you know, that did not cost him anything except for Navarro Bowman.
No.
That's the unfortunate part of the whole thing.
Yeah, I know. Just I feel bad for him. I mean, you talk about a guy who is really, worked his bat. When he was picked in the third round, I remember Jack called me on the phone right away. He says, can you believe the steal they got in this guy? I said, yeah, I know. You know?
And he was playing well, too.
Well, I'll be frank with you. I thought Bowman was the best player in the field on either team, despite what Richard Sherman thinks. And Sherman should dream to play the way Bowman played that game yesterday. Bowman was the single best player on the field yesterday. You know, better than Marshawn Lynch, better than Willis, who's really good. Kaepernick, Wilson, Crabtree, Bolden, didn't matter. Bowman was the best single player on the field yesterday. I thought he could not have played any better, and that was a big loss for them at that point. It also would have damaged, really, their any thought they had about winning the Super Bowl, too, the way he played. Because in order to beat Denver, you're going to need to have superior linebacking play, and which Willis and Bowman deliver. So,
I guess the other controversial issue is the running in or roughing the kicker, and I thought Fox did with Mike Pereira did a really good job of explaining the difference. Because I'll be honest, I didn't know the difference between roughing and running in. I thought it was just how violent you ended up hitting the kicker is what made the difference between 5 and 15 yards.
Well, yeah, but that does come into play when it's the leg that's in the air. When the leg's in the air and you run through it, they will call roughing. Okay, where you can't stop yourself. When it is when you're blocked into it, no. If you're trying to pull back and you hit the leg in the air, they'll call running. But he's right about the plant foot. The plant foot, now you're absolutely exposed at that point with your plant foot. And I can't remember who it was. It was number 42, I remember.
Yeah, that's
that
all
part.
I can remember as well.
Is not going to hit him, it looks like. Or, you know, is actually pulling up or trying to get, you know, it really is not. He's not on a path to rough him. How about that? But because his arm goes and, like, clips the plant leg, then it does have to me, has to be a 15-yard penalty because that is roughing the kicker in that particular instance. If he had gone up and he just gone through and he'd hit the leg or whatever, they would have called it running into fine because, you know, he did not smash into him. Now, if you smash into him, no matter what, you're going to get called for roughing. I don't care if it's your plant leg, your kicking leg, whatever. But they try to be rather judicious with that 5-yard penalty. And I remember the first time I ever remember that was when Alabama played Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl when Notre Dame won 24-23. And that was the famous Clements to Robin Weber pass that got Notre Dame out of. Well, Alabama had punted to put them on the 1-yard line, and the Alabama punter was hit. And there's like, oh, great, Alabama's going to get the ball, because everyone assumed it was going to be roughing the kicker, and they called running into it as a 5-yard penalty. And Bear Bryant turned the penalty down because it would not have given Alabama a first down. And they had pinned Notre Dame at the 1. And then that led to the Weber play where Clements out of his own end zone hit him. I know, that's sick. I remember that.
It's a little scary. Was it the
so let's get this straight. You celebrate the Steeler guy.
No, I didn't celebrate that. Now come on. Now you're twisting.
Wait. Right. And then because it's Belichick. Oh, he's whining.
Belichick, he was whining. Sorry, you're not gonna convince me otherwise on that one.
It's interesting working with a fan.
Interesting is I like the choice of words there. Interesting.
See, I have no dog in the hunt. You hate people, love people. Like, you're just like, you know, I'm like, I don't really care.
I'm an AFC guy, just like Peyton Manning.
You're an AFC guy?
I'm an AFC. Yeah, I really would. I like the AFC better than the NFC. I don't know why.
Because the Steelers are in the AFC.
Well, and I'm sure that has a lot to do with it, and I've watched a lot more AFC football. That doesn't mean I dislike the NFC or I disrespect them. I'm like Peyton Manning. I'm an AFC guy.
You know what would be really neat is if, like, neither conference played each other during the year. Now this, boom, they played.
I'm not even going to justify that with a response. You know how
I'm sorry. I thought that was your idea.
You know how I feel. You know how I feel.
Well, Denver and Seattle did not play this year.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing.
I mean, you're mad at the NHL because now Sidney Crosby played a game in Calgary.
Nah.
Yeah. You're trying to grow the game. In other words, you're going to tell me that you're going to go through your whole lifetime as a Dallas Cowboys fan, and not one time Peyton Manning's going to play a game in your stadium.
See, you look at it from a different perspective than I do.
Yes, I look at it from the fan's perspective.
No. You look at it from a season ticket holder perspective.
I'm looking at it. I'm sorry, but they should be allowed to see the best players. And guess what? How many Cowboy fans are going to say, God, I was at that Denver-Dallas game this year in a shootout between Manning and Romo. Romo blew with a pick at the end, but it ended up being 52-49. It was unbelievable. They're still talking about it now. It's good for the league. Meanwhile, your proposal puts everybody in a box.
Like I said, season ticket holder perspective, I understand. I'm a TV fan. So I can watch these guys whenever I want.
Yeah, but guess what? Okay. Your passion to watch the game, I'll bet it's different when there's no ambiance of crowd.
No, when my team's not involved. That's the difference. That's more of a difference. Because I watched the game to watch football the last 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, but if Seattle's playing San Francisco last night and there are 15,000 people there.
Right. It would not have the same impact as it did with the amount of people they had and the decibel levels over 100.
Right. TV wants to have people in the stands. It makes a huge difference. Passion, ambiance, feeling, excitement. You have stars. You got to get your stars around so people can see them. It helps grow your game. Even when you think your game doesn't need growth, it still needs growth all the time. That's why the NFL is considering the London thing, the LA thing. I don't agree with the London thing. I don't agree with it at all. But they're trying to grow the game. They're trying to look at other markets to get more money so they can, whatever.
I was talking to Andrew Shoup, Danville High School standout, went to Lafayette. Just talked to him a couple of weekends ago. And he's playing in Europe, a lot of American football, style football in Europe. And I asked him, I said, what's the response been? He goes, you know what? It's amazingly, he said, it's really, really good. It's amazing how much they've accepted the game and grasped the game. Since NFL Europe had been there for so long, and of course the World League of American Football before that, so there's definitely a market in Europe for the NFL.
There's no doubt, and I'm going to see it firsthand.
Yeah,
I'm going to see it firsthand. They think they can sell the 82,000 seats at Crow Park. All right, urgent search for Black Widow suicide bomber may already be in Sochi. We'll talk to the Olympic expert in a moment. Coming up later in the week, by the way, we're going to have two things I'm going to enjoy talking about later in the week. Sean Morris from BTN is going to be on. Sean Morris, the analyst for basketball, one of the absolute great guys on the planet and an excellent analyst. And then the segment that has ruined your childhood dreams and gives you nightmares.
Is it time to talk about money again?
Tony Knopp, CEO, Spotlight Ticket Management, to talk about the four-letter word, C-A-S-H, cash.
And how much you're going to have to drop to go into the nosebleed seats to see the Super Bowl.
Oh, seats are already sold.
I think last the last number I heard was $2,000.
Last year in New Orleans, they were going for face value.
Yeah.
Baltimore Ravens fans, okay, did not really respond well to the game. They didn't sell their allotment. Seattle and Denver might be a little different. They have more passionate fan bases. And also the length of time since they've been in the game. We'll talk about Sochi and why we're sending Kevin as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855. Check us out online at purdyinsurance.com. or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Shamokin Dam Health Center, designed with you in mind.
Everyone agrees that healthcare today is expensive. People repeatedly turn to costly drugs that cover up their pain and invasive surgery before considering other healthier options. At Shamokin Dam Health Center, we treat the cause of your physical problems, not just the symptoms. By helping your body function more efficiently, we get to the root of the problem to relieve the pain and restore your body to optimal health. Chiropractic care, rehabilitation, massage therapy, nutritional and occupational medical services. Call 743-4333 to schedule your appointment today. Shamokin Dam Health Center, your answer to total body health. That's 743-4333.
Shamokin Dam Health Center, designed with you in mind.
Watch what you want, when you want to watch it, with Service Electric Cablevision On Demand. With over 6,000 titles, including over 4,000 that are free programming, SECV On Demand opens your home up to a world of endless entertainment. Access new movie releases, full functionality controls, convenient room-to-room viewing, and much more. Plus, it's free with SECV Digital Cable. Visit SECV.com today or call your nearest location to learn more about On Demand and to find the package that's right for you.
Welcome back. Kevin is going to hum the intro. Go ahead.
I really can't. I don't even have a kazoo to start.
Hum something. No. Come on, man.
It's what happens when you go to hit the button and nothing's there. Oh, yeah, now. Yeah, sure. Sure.
Well, I'll tell you. It's amazing how many instruments you can hum at once. That's pretty good. All right.
Who needs straight, no chaser?
You're exactly right. Very quickly, a couple things for you. Our thanks, by the way, to James Franklin for being on the show Friday. Appreciated that very much. We'll get more as time goes along with him. We're going to talk about the Sochi Olympics in a few moments here, which they have big problems there. Big problems. And basketball as well. A lot of people have asked about the end of the game on Saturday night with Purdue. And I will go through it point by point. People have asked, why didn't they foul at the end with a three-point lead? And it's very simple. Time remaining when Purdue got the ball. 18 seconds to go in the game. If it had been 10 seconds or under, and Purdue's entering in the backcourt, they would have been fouled probably with about 3 or 4 seconds left. So I think that is what entered into it. I'll explain more after the break. Bill in Milton, though, is there. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Pretty good. Steve, I was calling to see, do you think the actions of Mr. Sherman here at the end of the game will be followed by maybe a fine of some sort for the taunting.
Well, I would think, Bill, that when you look at Sherman's actions at the end of the game, this is a league that fines you for not having your socks high enough. Okay, so he will get fined for the choke symbol he made toward the 49ers sideline. The interview with Aaron Andrews, of course, was borderline where you're sitting there going, okay, shall we institutionalize the guy or not?
I was wondering who had their finger on the beep button. That's what I was worried about.
But you know what? He never swore.
He didn't.
He didn't even come close to it. And Aaron Andrews, by the way, to her credit, I thought handled herself very well there.
I thought so, too. But and my next question is, how does the league go about with their substance abuse and their what I want to say steroid program? Is that how does that go about? I mean, is that something that's done at the beginning of the year? Is it random testing, or do you know?
It's random. It's random. That's why you'll find out guys, for example, in the middle of the year suddenly get a 4-game suspension. Most of them are at the beginning of the year because in the random testing that happens at OTAs or whatever, that's where they find out. And then all of a sudden, a lot of them happen at the beginning of the year. But it's not unusual that you'll see somebody in the middle of the season suddenly is gone for 4 games. As for Sherman, I know you're wondering, but this is as hot. But if you listen to him, this is a 3.9 GPA guy at Stanford, believe it or not. I mean, this is not an unintelligent guy. And the thing is, 5 minutes later when he was on the set with the guys, he's as jovial and intelligent and the whole thing. But in the moment, he completely lost himself. Lost it. He'll get fined for that.
But tell me that's not what Fox wanted.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think I don't know. I think it ought to be kind of like the Olympics. If you get that far, maybe the team should be tested, both teams, just to make sure going into the playoffs that they're not getting juiced up per se. You know, what do you think?
It's an interesting concept. Unfortunately, you have a union, and the union has rules.
Yeah. Yep. But I don't know. He just seemed really, really out of sorts. I understand the hype of the game and everything, you know, gets to him, but it just in the whole team, it seems like they're faster, stronger than most people. It's just, I don't know. I'm not a Pete Carroll fan either for when he what he did at USC leaving and then going to Seattle.
Fortunately, Bill, Denver has that guy called Manning. You can root for him.